I asked Josh to play that song because I love it. And I really want that to be said of me and for me to be able to say that in all honesty. I can't believe how perfect this the prayer thing and all that played in to this message today. Because one of you just gave $100 to school, and if it's a student, like President Bard said, I know something about you. You're broke. I've been broke a lot since I've been here. And I'm not talking spiritual. I'm actually talking literally financially broke. And I think everyone here can raise their hand and say, at some point, I've been broke. And so if you will, turn to Philippians chapter 4. As Tim mentioned earlier this week, that is where our wonderful New Testament exposition paper started. And so I'm going to continue in that book in chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 11. But I want to mention a quote to you that Richard Mellick, in his commentary on Philippians in the New American Standard Bible, or New American Commentary, he said, circumstances are the arena of spiritual growth. And if there's anything that I've found to be true in my life, it is that. If there's anything I've found through what I've experienced in coming here and what I've experienced with my family, it's that. We don't grow unless we choose to allow our circumstances to let us. And then being that, what is contentment in the midst of a circumstance? What is this idea that the world gives us of contentment? We start to think, do I have enough, or am I full, or do I have all the American dream? That comes up a lot when we talk about contentment. But I want to explain something different about contentment today. I want to explain that contentment doesn't matter when it comes to your circumstance. We've all been there. We've all felt this pressing need on our lives to have the right amount of money, to be able to pay for our late electricity bill, to be able to pay for the school to get started, for us to be able to pay our tuition that week or that month. And it's this thing that cripples us sometimes if we let it. We let this pressure bottle us up, and we all of a sudden we stop looking forward and we start looking at right here, and we don't realize there's an end. There's an end to need. And Paul knew that. And he tells us how he knew that in Philippians 4. So starting in verse 11, I want to read. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father God, may your word be the center of this today. God, speak through me what you want us to hear. God, continue to teach me the secret of contentment as you taught Paul. Teach us the secret of contentment. Lord, help us to know the truth of who you are and how you interact with us in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. The title today is Christian Contentment. I'm going to use that word a lot, so get used to it. But I had to ask myself as I studied this, do I know what contentment is? Can I say like Paul, I can be content in all things? And I can. Not right now. Not because I've learned like Paul has, but because Christ enables me to. You see, contentment, when you look up the definition, it says in the Webster's Dictionary, it's pleased and satisfied and not needing more. And I think that does it some justice, but I read another one that said coming to ease with your circumstances, and I think that's perfect. Because I cannot sit there and say, no longer after reading this passage, can I sit there and say, I'm content because I have enough, or I'm content because I don't have enough. We've all been through, or most of us have been through Dr. Winarski's class, and his Greek class. He talks about the book of Philippians quite a bit. And there's one thing, if you've listened to him, which I hope you guys have, he's talked about the Philippian culture and how it was this honor, shame society. Ringing any bells? How Philippi was settled by the Roman veterans, and I'm going to throw out a date there just so Dr. McDill realizes I've studied church history a little bit. In 42 AD, Octavius settled Philippi. And it was a settlement for the Roman veterans, like I said. And so naturally, coming from Rome, it's going to be very similar. And honestly, it had the same currency. It was similar in how it treated its people. There was Roman citizenship there. And it's 800 miles away from Rome, I mean, mind you. And so wouldn't you think that Philippi is really similar to our circumstance today? We live in America, and it's not honor, shame, but when it comes to contentment, it's have or have nots. I mean, our political race is based on have or have nots, if we're honest. The way we look at the world is based on have or have nots because of the way we look at it with Western culture. And Paul knew that about Philippi too. The people he reached in Philippi, if we look at Acts 16, the first two families he reached was Lydia, the purple maker, and a Philippian jailer who was a soldier. They were not in trouble when it came to finances. They didn't go home thinking, I'm not going to eat tonight. Both of them had lucrative careers. And so I believe that if we look at the reality of the context of Philippians, that Paul is speaking to a culture very similar to ours. A culture that says contentment comes from what you have. So I want to give you three facts to remember when it comes to being truly content in Christ, or when it comes to Christian contentment. The first one is this: contentment does not depend on our circumstances. Contentment doesn't depend on our circumstances. Paul says, I have learned. This is like, I mean, I have learned this, to be content in all my circumstances. We can do that, and because Paul's no different than us. I think sometimes we boost up Paul and say, oh man, super apostle, then there's me. No, God's like, no, Paul's someone that I saved, and you're someone that I saved. I'm going to use song illustrations a lot. I'm sorry, you know, but music has definitely had its effect on my life. Jeremy Camp sings a song, The Same Power. Same power that raised Jesus from the grave is in us. The same power that gave Paul the ability to be content without his circumstances coming into play is the same power that can teach us that same thing. Contentment doesn't depend on our circumstances. We've all been little kids, I think. We've all grown up, and a lot of us have had a good family life, and some of us haven't. But for the people that are parents in here, I know my parents remember this day, I'm sure. But there was a Christmas when, you know, they buy all these toys, and they're under the tree, and I pull it out, and I open the box, I pull the toy out, and what do? I play with the box. Every kid's done that. I mean, I talk to parents all the time. Every kid's done that at some point. And the kid wasn't worried about everything around him. It didn't depend that it was a toy or a box. He was fine with that. He didn't care. We didn't care at one point. And now all of a sudden that we're older and we're adults, we care so much about what we have and what we don't have. You see, a word that often comes into play when we're talking about contentment is happiness. And there was a chapel speaker either last semester or this semester that said happiness is based on happenstance. And contentment's not based on happenstance. It's not based on the situation you're in. It's based on whether or not you've decided to learn to allow Jesus, to allow God in the scripture to define your contentment. Not only is contentment not dependent on circumstances, it's possible in any circumstance. Paul was capable of being content in poverty and wealth. He uses three illustrations. Two of them are financial and one of them is physical. He says in having much and having little, in having abundance and having need, and then he says in hunger and in being full. Contentment isn't confined to those two things, but it has a lot to do with those two things. Think about if you're in Professor Woodcock's business class. I think last semester, we talked about the recession of 2008 or 2007 for like 3 weeks. And I was 14 when the recession happened, and a lot of us were that age or a little younger. And then there were those of us that actually had houses, and so we really felt the full brunt of it. But when I was 14 years old, my dad came to me one night and said, you know, we got to start spending less, so we're going to take it easy. We're not going to eat out so much. And it didn't strike me as that big of a deal. I wasn't worried about the situation around me. I trusted my parents. They knew what they were doing. Our contentment in our circumstances means that we're trusting in God to provide. Our contentment in our circumstances doesn't require us to know where the next check is coming from or to know when the next meal is going to happen. Our contentment in our circumstances is all about trusting God first. But I want to mention that Paul even used the analogy of wealth, and he was still content in that. Why would Paul say he was content in having much and content in having little? Because either way you look at it, contentment's going to be a problem. And most of us are poor. But some of us think, you know, if I gain enough money, I won't be, you know, discontent anymore. That's not the case. You look at culture, look at our Hollywood stars, and there's a lot of those folks that are truly hurting. I mean, they are way worse off than we are because there's no hope in that money that they think has hope. There's no hope in those relationships. There's no hope in the fame, and there's no hope in the drugs. I think of several that have actually committed suicide or died in the past few years over drug overdoses because they weren't content. They weren't satisfied in what they had. They needed more. Like I said, it's possible for us to be content. And as a matter of fact, God wants us to be content. But he doesn't want us to be content depending on our circumstances. He wants us to be content in every circumstance because we have the secret, as some translations say, to contentment. Contentment is possible through Christ. Contentment is possible through Christ. Christ indwells every believer through his Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in us. The same power that comes from that Spirit is in our hearts and gives us the ability to face our circumstances head on and say, "You're not going to take me down. I have hope. I can bear it." Paul didn't ever look at what he had to giving himself hope. Paul looked at what was ahead. Paul says in 2 Timothy, when he's talking to Timothy, he's about to die. By the way, Paul wrote this from a Roman prison. That's an important fact. I should have mentioned that earlier. But Paul wrote this from a Roman prison. And again, in 2 Timothy, he's in a Roman prison. He's about to be executed is what we believe. And he says, "Even now I'm being poured out as a drink offering." He goes on and he talks about how he was worthy. God considered him worthy of that. And then he says, "And laid up for me in heaven is a crown of glory." Paul's contentment and our contentment doesn't have to depend on what is. It is what is to come. Horatio Spofford. A lot of you have heard that name. He was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was a devout Christian and faithful student of the scriptures. His circle of friends includes D.L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. At the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife, Anne, suffered the tragic loss of their young son. Shortly thereafter, on October 8, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Horatio had. In 1873, Spofford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. He also went to join Moody and Sankey in an evangelistic campaign in England. Spofford sent his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, he received notice that his family's ship had encountered a collision and all four of his daughters drowned and only his wife survived. This guy was having a bad week. But we know Horatio Spafford because he wrote the famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's contentment. Man, do I look forward to the day that God has completed that work in me where I can say like Paul, "I have learned what it is to be content." And I hope someday I say that in a shack. Honestly, I really do. Trusting God in every situation means looking for your contentment in heaven. And not in what is here. When we struggle to find contentment, we can take courage in the fact that it's been done. Paul says, I have learned what it is to be content. It didn't depend on his circumstances, and it didn't make a difference within the circumstance he was in. It didn't matter which circumstance it was, poverty or wealth, because Paul knew the secret was in Jesus Christ. Everyone at this school has sacrificed much to be here, students and faculty alike. Some of you gave up ministry careers, others gave up work, others gave up colleges that really were trying to pull them there. A lot of us gave up some financial security in doing this. But I know for a fact that not one of you would say it wasn't worth it. Not one of us would say, I'm just discontent with this point in my life. You've counted the cost to be here. You've sacrificed what the world told you was true contentment for what is true contentment. Because we have Christ. Contentment is possible regardless of our circumstance because Christ enables us. Christ puts forth that power in us so we can bear the situation that is at hand. From this passage, my goal, and I pray that it would be your goal too, is that I would seek to learn to be content. That I would use every circumstance, like Paul did, to learn the secret of contentment. And that I would set my eyes on Christ and on the promise of heaven as the actual fact of my contentment. God wants you to be content. Make sure that the circumstances you are in, God has called you to, trust him to provide in every way and be content knowing that Christ is in your corner. And you too will know the secret to contentment. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I pray that you would teach us what it is to be content. That you would enable us and empower us to know the truth of contentment. God, may you have all the glory for what we have and what we do not have. And it's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.